Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 8th of June, recording at 7:08 p.m. British Summer Time. Earlier than I usually record, but I'm taking Mrs. Fuller to the theater. I hope you don't mind this early recording. This being the Friday Big Picture audio, I usually start with a quick review of the week, and my goodness, it's been quite a dramatic week. We saw China plunge, that had been going on for a while, but then China bounced quite strongly. We saw Japan improve and hold most of those gains after its underperformance. We saw Asian stock markets generally steady, helped by China, but losing it a bit yesterday in response to the Wall Street sell-off and European stock markets. We saw European stock markets hit quite hard from Tuesday onwards, and also Wall Street, and that contagion spilled over into most other markets. Interestingly, commodity producing markets are holding up comparatively well. Now, government bonds plunging, and they had been plunging for a while, and that has what's really spooked equity investors, who are nervous enough given some of the overextensions that had occurred. And in currencies, so we saw the dollar from midweek rebound here, as is so often the case when we get sharp sell-offs in the financial markets. And that has continued today. Precious metals really capitulated yesterday, having held up reasonably well in the first couple of days of stock market weakness, and that softness has continued today. Industrial metals have also been generally weaker. They're certainly this week led by tin, which led by nickel, which has shown evidence of a medium-term top for a while now. But they're not all weak by any means. Lead, one of the strongest, is up in here today. And crude oil bounced around, but down today and down yesterday. Down fairly sharply today, 123 as I speak. Gold, incidentally, I said this had been hit. It's currently down 1170 at 647.45, so it's taking out that little last reaction low. And palladium and platinum are holding up best, at least at the moment. They're only slightly down. Having given that stock market rundown, European markets came back well today from their lows, and Wall Street shows some modest gains at the moment after an early sell-off. Soft commodities, the majority of them have been steady this week. Sugar has been a big exception, although it's a little bit firmer in here today. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, little doubt, as I've been saying since Tuesday, that this was definitely another stock market reaction. We hadn't seen a real stock market reaction since the late February, early March period. And I don't think it's over, but I can say, you can see, that a number of stock markets have fallen back to levels of initial support. And it'll be quite interesting of potential support, I should say. In other words, a lot of stock markets have come back down to some previous rally high points, and also to some lateral trading. I'll start illustrating these from next week. Now, having said that it would be premature to talk about the reaction being over. It's certainly done some damage. People are going to remain worried about bond markets for a while longer. But as I said on Tuesday, we were due for a reaction and some mean reversion in terms of the 200-day moving averages. So I'm very much inclined to classify this move in that category. I have also said that there's a possibility that it could morph into a full-blown correction. And if that happens, really the main reason, the sole reason perhaps, would be the weakness that we have seen in long-dated government bonds. And of course, that has been at least partially triggered by the round of interest rate hikes that we have been seeing. And sentiment has flip-flopped yet again on the U.S. interest rates, where there was a strong consensus looking for cuts later this year. Now people are worrying that the Fed will actually be raising rates. Well, you know my view on this. I've said that the Fed will try very hard to keep rates absolutely unchanged for as long as it possibly, as long as it possibly can. So I don't look for any change there for quite a while, and I'm not going to try to guess what the next move will be. It's pointless. The Fed doesn't know, and it'll respond to events. So the Fed doesn't know at this stage. Now, in terms of the overall bull market cycle, a lot of people have been saying 4 years and counting. This is very long in the tooth historically. But a point I mentioned yesterday, and it's worth repeating here, is that bull markets, not in stocks or anything else, will end due to old age. In other words, they don't die. Bull markets don't die of old age. They are assassinated. And they are usually assassinated by central bank monetary policy. And it remains to be seen whether central banks will overreact sufficiently to kill this bull market off. I doubt that myself, and that would be fairly ham-fisted, heavy-fisted action, and is unnecessary. Yes, there are inflationary pressures, but I've been saying that actually we'd see some subsiding of those inflationary pressures. I was saying that earlier in the year, and indeed I believe we have in most countries. So the Fed is not facing an inflationary crisis here, and neither is any other central bank, except the Bank of Zimbabwe, but that's a whole nother story, isn't it? No. Therefore, I'm very much of the view that this is likely to be no more than one of the bigger reactions, possibly extending into a correction, depending on what we see here in terms of government bond markets. In terms looking forward, looking beyond this, again, this is the third year of the U.S. presidential election cycle. I would be surprised if most stock markets were not higher at the end of the year than they are today. Now, government bonds. Well, let me just stick with these market themes here. Looking beyond that, my favorite themes, veteran subscribers will know this. It's not something that a view I would change very often, but more importantly, I don't have any need, or there's no reason why I should be changing this view at this stage. But my favorites are emerging markets, and I like Asia the most in terms that Asia certainly would always do or perform the best overall, but in terms of potential and risk, when I look at them on that basis, then Asia leads the queue, with China and India being the king and queen of emerging markets in my view, and I favor India on a very long-term, 20-year basis, even more than China, for reasons mentioned previously. But I like the entire emerging market sector, not least resources producers. I like developed country resources producers. I think resources are going to be a big theme, as I've said, really over the last 5 years, I've said resources were going to be one of the main long-term investment themes, that I believed in the commodity super cycle. That's still very much alive, led by industrial resources. Okay, moving on to long-dated government bonds. I did a quick, short rather, technical review of these here today using weekly charts showing bond prices. Now, some of these have slumped down to areas of previous lows, so it wouldn't be surprising to see some steadying in long-dated government bond prices fairly soon. They look overextended on the short term and are certainly over, yeah, well, I've already said it, they're overstretched on some of these downward trends. However, I'm not tempted to buy them for bounces. I'm annoyed that I didn't have some shorts out, because I've been talking about eventual and inevitable weakness in long-dated government bonds for quite a while here. But I'm not tempted to buy bond futures for the bounce, because I think that it would only be technical. And the trouble with bear markets, and there's no doubt that this is a bear market in long-dated government bonds, I've been saying that since mid-2003, that the trouble with this type of environment and wanting to buy for rallies is that in bear markets, of course, most of the surprises tend to be on the downside, even for people who are actually bearish of the sector. I do think we need to see some respite on bond markets before stock markets can regain their nerve, let alone go back and retest the highs that we had seen not long ago, either earlier this month or last, more likely last month. Now, in terms of currencies, I really don't think that the US dollar is seeing anything other than short covering here. As I mentioned in my introduction, this often happens. We get a firmer dollar when there are nervous conditions, or when we're seeing real selling pressure in the financial markets. And so I think that's exactly what we're seeing, about a short covering for the dollar. It's continued in here today, and that and what we'll really need to see now is some sort of downward dynamic to indicate that it's over, or an upward dynamic by the euro. Right now, as I say, these are just retreating. The dollar isn't rallying against everything. And it's not doing much against the Australian dollar, for instance. Actually, it's down a little bit here today. And these commodity-producing country currencies are among the firmest, and I think that's likely to remain so. They mostly have positive interest rate differentials overall. Long term, medium term as well. Medium term, I think that we will see the dollar weaken again. I've never been in the camp that said the dollar would collapse. I've always said that it would range slowly lower. It's not in anybody's interest to see the dollar collapse, and it can almost certainly be prevented by central bank activity. But a softer dollar overall is what I expect. I expect resources and Asian currencies, resources producing countries and Asian countries in general, to have the stronger currencies on a long-term basis. And the two weak currencies are the two main reserve currencies. That's the dollar and the Japanese yen. Well, maybe you could say the euro is the second most important reserve currency now, but certainly two out of the three leading reserve currencies are weak, in the yen and the US dollar, and I don't see that changing anytime soon. People have been telling us that the yen was due for a massive re-rating for a long time. Well, you know, I've made that point so many times that after the Endaka experience, that's the Japanese word for surviving a strong yen, or coping with a strong yen, that we saw during the 1990s and beyond, that there's a whole generation of monetary policy specialists out there who are in the Japanese government and are determined not to see a strong yen, particularly when their economic recovery is not all that robust. And they know that a strong yen would add to deflationary pressures, and Japan is the one country that hungers for a little bit of inflation. Now, moving on to the resources, gold and other precious metals are being dragged down here by the general sort of flight to liquidity that we're seeing by leveraged investors overall. This is creating another buying opportunity. I think precious metals are in a buying region right now from an investment standpoint. I have seen a lot of my positions stopped out, which were in futures. I've said today in my comments that if I held, rather than playing the futures, if I was holding bullion funds, I would unleveraged bullion funds, I wouldn't be quite relaxed about this downward move and looking to add to those positions. I'm looking to repurchase longs in the precious metals where I've been stopped out, mainly gold and silver, but I'll wait until some of the dust settles here. For obvious reasons, I'll want to see the dollar's rally slow and maybe the precious metals get even a little bit more overextended on the downside, and then I'll be moving back in. And industrial metals, they have, or well, these trends are not all moving in the same fashion. What we tend to get is an industrial metal will get quite overextended on the upside, and then it'll get a major correction. That happened to copper last year. It's happening to nickel this year, although it's only really just started. I do expect nickel to pull lower over the next few weeks and possibly months. But overall, this is a secular bull market. Most of these still show backwardations, indicating a shortage of material for immediate delivery. They are at the heart, industrial metals, including uranium, are at the heart of the supply and elasticity meets rising demand theme that I've been talking about for the last, well, over 4 years. And therefore, I like shares. I like the top class mining shares, as you know. And I think those are long-term holds, or at least until their valuations go from being generally below market levels to substantial premiums to market levels, which I would not be surprised to see at some point. And then I'll think again about retaining positions there. Although I think, again, they're likely to be solid earners due to all the infrastructure demand that we will be seeing from developing nations for many, many years to come. And agricultural commodities, I've said that the weather is going to be a crucial factor here. That's an obvious point, since the demand side, we know it's rising and it will go on rising. With commodities, though, the key variable is always going to be supply. And that takes us right back to the weather. And where there are problems in terms of production, threats to production, we will see price spikes from time to time. But this is a difficult sector to deal with relative to the industrial metals or the precious metals, which tend to get overlapping moves, whereas agricultural commodities can move in quite different trends and usually do. But what I feel is the case is that the floor underneath these is rising and from a very low level as well, and that it will probably continue to rise. What else? Crude oil, definitely part of the industrial commodity supply inelasticity theme, but there's less supply inelasticity for crude oil than there is for the industrial metals. But petroleum contracts, I suspect, will continue to range sideways to higher. I don't look for explosive moves on the upside anytime soon. That would require some sort of global shock, and I think it would be temporary. But overall, is oil likely to be higher a year from now? Quite probably. And I think that's pretty much it for another week, a very dramatic week. And I wish you a healthy, restful weekend. And if you're in the markets, be careful. Meanwhile, all the best.